You know, I had a flashback on Friday evening. I was watching, Sister Karen and I were watching the 10 o'clock news, and guess who they had a clip of on the 10 o'clock news? Brother Miles. So even though we don't always say any more about Brother Miles all the time, there's still reminders, subtle reminders that show us that Brother Miles is still among us. And if nothing but in spirit, he is among us. This morning, I'm going to go with a text from a very old familiar text, the parable of the lost son. Now, I know many of you, if you are a Bible student or if you barely know the Bible, you probably heard of this text. And I'll reread it very quickly here for you. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring him the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This morning, let us go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, we are so blessed once again because you have lengthened out our lives to include coming to your house. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we are presented with, and we thank you for a reasonable portion of our health, our strength, our mind, and our bodies. We're just so thankful, Lord, that you have given us these blessings. And might they continue to be with us. May we be blessed this entire day. And from now on, may we receive your blessings as you have prepared them for us. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we pray for every member in the congregation this morning and their families. We pray especially for the leaders and their families. And we pray and ask you, God, that while we do this message this morning, that if it be your will, if it touches someone, that they might find themselves a guilty, if they find themselves a guilty distance from the throne, that they may come forward and ask the question, and answer to the question of what must I do? Father, when we are completed with this message, we pray that we have left someone with a burning desire to be a child of God. We thank you so much, and we thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross that we might live. In your Son Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Let the church say amen. The story in Luke, the 15th chapter, teaches us a great lesson. It teaches us a lesson on foolishness and wisdom. It is not a hard lesson to understand. It can simply be described as a lesson involving choices of wisdom and foolishness. Today we have to make choices. We can choose right from wrong, wisdom or foolishness. We can follow the word of God, or we can make our own choice in matters of God, God's will, or man's. And I may as well tell you that man can never outthink God, according to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This morning we want to talk for a few minutes the foolishness and wisdom of the prodigal son. Let us look at this old story from the Bible. His foolish choices. He made a foolish choice. First mistake was a very foolish one. He chose to leave his home. He gave up the protection of his family unit. And oh yes, it was not unlike some today who choose this same path. In the text in verse 12, he went to his father and made his request known to his dad. He said in verse number 12, once again, he said, "Father," and the young of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." So he divided them his livelihood. Some folk today choose that same route that the prodigal son chose because they want to be independent. This can be some of the causes of things like runaway children, dissolving of marriages, breakups of homes, and the like. Now, had this son used a little bit of wisdom, perhaps he would have worded his request a little different. Perhaps he could have asked for the father's advice on the matter. This is why Christians need to go to God in prayer before making decisions in their lives. My Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, "In everything by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God." He could have asked for the Father's advice on making a tough decision. Instead, his words were simply, "Give me." Watch what happens if you don't ask God for wisdom. Look at verse number 13 now. Verse 13 said, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and then wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Many waste precious money and time by not using wisdom. Do you remember in James chapter 4 and verse number 2 where the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not"? We need to learn to ask God about all things. This son wasted his life with foolishness, with a foolish choice, and with foolish decisions. May this be a lesson for us today that God's wisdom is better than our guessing. Now, I don't want to say that the prodigal son never used any wisdom, because he did. But the consequences of his action caused him grief and heartaches. If you'll notice verses 14 through verse number 16. But look what happened to him. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine, and would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." But that's when, you know, sometimes we don't understand how far down we might have to go in order for us to get up. We find this son to be in a position he probably never envisioned himself being in. It just goes to show you we don't know in life how far down we may have to go before we can get ourselves together. When we make decisions of choice without asking God first, we may find ourselves in the same type of situation as the prodigal son. The good thing about these types of situations is that they have a way of bringing us to our senses. Look at verse number 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Here we find him coming to himself, realizing what his father had to offer him and how much food he had. He would not have to live at death's door due to a lack of food. All he needed to do was to go to his father. Now that leads me to say this. When a child of God finds himself in a life-altering situation, he needs wisdom to know it's time to go back to God if you have left him, or to come to him for the first time. And we'll never have to worry about whether God is at home, because he's always available. The prodigal son made a wise decision. Look what he said in verse number 18. He said, "I will go to my father and repent of my sins." That's the voice of wisdom speaking. And if you find yourself out or without wisdom, the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, that ask God for it. God give it to all men liberally. Wisdom. You know, wisdom is a wonderful thing. Wisdom will teach you how to say what you mean without hurting someone's feeling. And I know some of us are kind of fragile when it comes to being told things, but you have to learn how to accept. If I speak to you and I speak to you in love, you have to learn to accept that I don't mean you any harm, but I simply mean to make you a better person by giving you words of wisdom. Wisdom is a great thing. The wisdom of the Father. The Father had wisdom too, church. The Father is full of wisdom. The Father saw him afar off. Now God sees us afar off, and he knows what we are in need of. Yes, we may need to confess of a lot of things, but our Father, no matter what condition we may find ourselves in, our Father already knows about it. And he knows how to work it out. All we have to do is but ask him, for he is full of forgiveness. Just like the prodigal son, Father had love and affection to receive his son, our Heavenly Father will receive us. So the Bible says, when he was a great way off, I want you to notice verse number 20 here. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now I want you to notice something there. The father had compassion. And although he was a great distance off, the father ran to him. And still, I know that God is a long way off from earth, but he still sees us and he knows our hearts. Notice, if you will, how that the father not only had that compassion on him, but as I said, he ran to him. God will come to us when we need him if we ask him to. He will forgive us our sins. All you need to know is you all know the rest of the story, that the Father welcomed him, pull out the best robe for him, gave him sandals or shoes for his feet, all because he realized his son was once dead and now was alive again. He realized his son was lost and now is found again. For us today, we can come back to our Heavenly Father, no matter how long we have been living away from Him. If we but ask for His forgiveness, He will receive us to Himself. Do you remember how that Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4 how they had left their first love? When Christians sin and continue in sin, they have left their first love and the love and protection of our Savior. So in chapter 5, Jesus told them to repent and do the first works. We do not want to become foolish like the other son. You know, there was another son, and we don't often speak of him too much. But the other son that this father had was a jealous-hearted soul. We don't want to be like him. He was envious and had an unforgiving heart. We need to remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, around verse number 34. Said, take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day in return, saying, I repent, you should forgive him. In other words, forgiveness has unlimited, there's unlimited forgiveness should be in us. This is Jesus speaking from that Luke the 17th chapter there. God's word, he doesn't offer us a choice in the matter. He says you shall forgive him if the person repents. This elderly brother certainly did not show an attitude of forgiveness. He is like some believers today that is, I'll forgive them as long as I don't have to say it or I don't have to show it. As long as it doesn't cost me anything, I'll forgive him or her. But I tell you, if one cannot forgive, his soul could be in jeopardy. Do you remember how that Jesus asked the Father to forgive them in Luke chapter 23? They were crucifying him as he was hung on his dying cross. He had forgiveness in his mouth. How that Stephen in Acts chapter 7 asks for forgiveness of those who were stoning him to death. Why is it that we can't forgive those who trespass against us while we are living? Jesus and Stephen both asked for forgiveness as they were dying. So I want to ask you something this morning. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone you need to maybe have asked you for repentance, have repented to you and asked you to forgive them? You know, it's a hard thing sometimes for us to understand God's will. But God said, repent. If they repent, you forgive them no matter how many times. Seven times a day, still you forgive them. And I noticed in the prodigal son there, now, I don't know if the prodigal son was a praying man or not. The Bible doesn't tell me if he prayed, but he realized the situation that he was in. And he said, I'm going to go to my father. And when he got back to his father in verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father decided, this is my son who was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive again. And they began to be merry. Oh, everybody likes to eat. So the Bible said that he killed a fatted calf. And they began to be merry. And I'm here to tell you this morning that being merry is not as good as forgiving one another, but it's a good choice for a second best. But nevertheless, when this son went to this far country, If we back it up a little bit, and his son went to this far country, and he began to waste himself, his, what he had, on riotous living. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he was doing, but you can leave it to your sanctified imagination to try to figure that out. But he wasted his money on riotous living, and he began to be in want. Now, I know sometimes we get in trouble with the Lord, and we began to be in want. And you can't beat a person for a person who will tell you, I can't pray because I've never prayed. Let them get in need. And they become prayers automatically. Even those that don't know God, they began to pray sometime to God. And when this young man found himself in want, now, like I usually say, he was finding himself ready to eat with the pig. But I tell you something. You don't know how low you can go until you find yourself in that situation. And then when you find yourself in that situation, you have to do just what the Bible says this young man did in verse number 16. He gladly would have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But in verse number 17, this is what I want you to take out of this. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, being hungry is no fun. Being hungry is a serious affair, a serious matter. And he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He was ready to be a servant because he needed to eat. Being hungry is something else, church. So this prodigal son decided, I'm going to go back to my father. How many times we as Christians need to ask the Lord to forgive us and go back to our Heavenly Father? I'm so glad this morning that God doesn't put a limit on forgiveness. Because if he put a limit on forgiveness, some of us, including me, might already be out of forgiving grace. But God forgives, and he tells us to forgive also. And I can't emphasize enough to any one of you that you must learn to forgive and let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. In verse number 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, I like the father's attitude. The father has wisdom. He said to his servants, he said, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Don't give it to him, but put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now I tell you, when a lost soul comes back to the church, comes back to the Lord, we need to be merry and welcome them back. And I know what some might say. Some might say, well, he had no business going and leaving in the first place. But sometimes we don't make wise decisions all the time. We have to learn lessons the hard way sometimes. And sometimes a hard lesson is a better learned lesson than an easy lesson. An easy lesson will make things so easy and nice for you, you don't have to think about it. But a hard lesson makes you think. And that's what Christians need to do. They need to think about the Word of God. So the Bible says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now I tell you, church, there's nothing like coming back to the Lord. And I know what some might say. Some might say, well, if you had never left him, you wouldn't have to come back. But sometimes you have to learn your lessons being taught the hard way. I tell you, God makes examples of, gives us examples to follow. I'm so glad this morning that we have the Bible. Because the Bible is the thing that can get us through this life that we're living in. And I know some of us don't think that we're ever going to die, but I got news for you. You are going to die. We all are going to die. And when we die, it's too late to learn the lesson of reading your Bibles. It'd be too late to try to do what you should have done while you were yet living. It's time to, right now is the time to do the will of God and read your Bible and study your Bible. And I know what you say, some of you say. Reading the Bible is hard and I really don't have time. If I had more time, I would read the Bible more. But I got some news for you. You don't want to get caught up by not studying the Word of God, because studying the Word of God will teach you how to live. It will teach you how to live. It'll teach you things that you don't know about in the Word of God. Now, like this young man who told his father he wanted to go away. He wanted what was his, and he decided to go away. Now, how many times have our children, who, by the way, our children know more than we do, we know that already. But how many times have our children tried to tell us the right way to do things? They don't know, but they think they know. How many times have our children came to us and told us, Mama, Daddy, that was old-fashioned. This is the new day now. I see somebody smiling back there. This is a new age. We need to do things a little different. But I contend to you this morning that there's nothing new under the sun. I got that from the Word of God. Wasn't something that I made up. But the Bible tells me there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever is going on today, it's been around already. Whatever comes your way, it's already been here before. Whatever that you may see, somebody else has seen it before you did and before I did. So all I'm saying to you this morning is that the Bible is right. The Bible is a great, great predictor of things to come and how we are to live while we yet live. And I don't know if you know about it, but God knows about death. He sent his only son into this world to hang, bleed, and die for our behalf, on our behalf, not on his behalf. But God is familiar with death. God has seen it from the beginning with Adam and Eve, all the way through the Bible, there's death involved. So to think that God doesn't know what he's doing when he brings death upon us is a lie. Because God does know. But back to this prodigal son. Back to this young man who didn't use much wisdom when he told his father he wanted what was his. He didn't use much wisdom there. If he had went to his father and sat down with his father perhaps and said, Father, show me how to handle my living if it's given unto me. But instead he simply said, give me. Give me what befalls me. Give me what's mine. So many times we give our children too much today. When we give our children too much, we tend to do what they call spoil them. We spoil them by being good to them. We think it's being good when we're actually spoiling them. So what are you saying, preacher? Don't be good to my children? No, that's not what I'm saying. They are your responsibility. You are supposed to be good to them. But you don't have to overdo it. That's all I'm saying. Don't make them dependent on you, because they've got to grow up one day. And when they grow up, they can't be dependent on you, because guess what? You may not be here. So give them just enough that you can help them, but you don't have to overdo it. Now, I know somebody might be sitting out there saying, well, I'm going to do what I want for my kids. And that's all right. But know this, that the Bible tells us to spare the rod and save the child. You got to remember that. And I continue on with the prodigal son now. I'm almost done. I got about 2 minutes here, and I'm going to wrap it up. The prodigal son. Now, as I said, I don't know if he was a praying young man or not, but all I know is that the Bible doesn't say whether he prayed or not. But I know that when he became in want, when he found himself about to eat the pig slop, I know something came over him then, and perhaps he did pray, but the Bible doesn't tell me that he did. He said, I'm going to go to my father, because my father has what I need, and right then he needed food. And he said, I'm going to go to my father, who has bread enough to spare. And the servants have more bread than they can use. And I have nothing. I'm about to die here of hunger. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, our Father can prepare a meal for us when we're missing a meal. Our Father can give us a meal when we're missing a meal. The prodigal son. It's a great lesson, and I know you've heard it many times in many ways. I've done it several times in different ways, but it's a story that I never get tired of. It's a story that you shouldn't get tired of, because it teaches us great lessons in wisdom and foolishness. It teaches us the wisdom that we need to have versus the foolishness that many of us already have. But we've got to learn to separate them. We've got to learn to remember that God is in charge of us. God knows us. God made us. And God was going to take us one day. So let us remember to try to use wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, James tells you how to get wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. If you've walked away from God, you've turned your back on God, or if you've lost yourself in the midst of this cruel world that we live in, you need to come back to God by asking the church to pray, asking God to forgive you, asking the church to pray for you. If you come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.